Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and we're going on a tour of what's overhead during October evenings and mornings. Let's get to those early risings first. Jupiter pops up in the east around midnight on October 1st and 2 hours earlier by month's end. In the coming months, it'll migrate into the evening sky, but for now it's easier to find as dawn approaches. Around 6 a.m., you'll find it very high up to the upper left of the majestic constellation Orion. Jupiter is making its way across a crowded part of the sky, studded with the bright stars Betelgeuse and Rigel in Orion, Procyon and, lower down, dazzling Sirius, which mark the hunter's two faithful hunting dogs, and Aldebaran, the angry eye of Taurus the bull, well to Jupiter's west. The other early morning treat is Mars. It's masquerading as a part of the constellation Leo, the lion, all month. And on the morning of October 15th, the red planet is just 1 degree, about the width of your index finger at arm's length, from Leo's brightest star, Regulus. Watch how these two shift position in the days before and afterward. And note the color difference, too. Regulus is a blue-white star that contrasts nicely with the peachy hue of Mars. And even though Regulus looks a bit brighter, it's actually 79 light-years away from us, more than 2 trillion times farther away than Mars. This month, the moon mirrors the calendar, more or less, with new moon on the 4th and a thin crescent gracing the evening sky a few days after that. Full moon, known as the Hunter's Moon, comes on October 18th. That night, it just barely nicks Earth's shadow, creating what's called a penumbral lunar eclipse. Those of you on the East Coast have the best chance of seeing it. At 7:50 p.m., and for perhaps 30 minutes before or after that, look for a dusky shading along the bottom of the lunar disk. Out west, the moon won't have risen yet, but in Europe, the eclipse happens with the moon high in the nighttime sky. A few days later, the 21st, marks the peak of the Orionid meteor shower. This is already one of the weaker annual showers, with perhaps 10 per hour if you're lucky, and having a bright moon around won't help. But if you're already out before dawn that morning, keep an eye out. You might just see a shooting star shed by Mr. Halley's famous comet. Now let's shift to the evening sky and focus on the star patterns overhead as twilight fades. This is always an interesting time of year for sky watching. That unmistakable beacon low in the southwest is the planet Venus. Not far to its left is Antares, marking the heart of Scorpius. And well to its upper right is the bright summertime star Arcturus, gradually sinking in the northwest. Saturn and Mercury are buried in the twilight to the lower right of Venus. You might glimpse Saturn if the sky is very transparent and you have a clear view toward west. Look toward Venus and make a turn to your right so that you're facing north. Not far above the horizon is our old friend the Big Dipper. Its bowl is on the right and its handle is sticking out toward left. As the evening starry sky pinwheels through the changing season, the Big Dipper does a slow counterclockwise dance around Polaris, the North Star. And where is Polaris, you might ask? Some people think it's the brightest star in the sky, but that's not the case. It's far dimmer than the dazzling sparklers in and around Orion, for example. Still, it's easy to spot if you know where to look. Find the two stars on the right side of the Big Dipper's bowl. Now, draw an imaginary line through them, and follow that line upward and to the right until you spot a medium-bright star pretty much all by itself. There you go, that's Polaris. Now, clench your fist and hold it out straight. Three fists to the right of Polaris, and a bit higher up, you'll see a group of 5 stars crudely shaped like a 3. Or maybe you'll see them as a broad W tipped up on its left corner. The whole pattern is a little bigger than your clenched fist. This is the constellation Cassiopeia, who is a queen in Greek mythology. You'll see that Cassiopeia and the Big Dipper are situated on opposite sides of the North Star, so when one is high up, the other is low down. The Dipper dominates in spring and summer, while Cassiopeia rules in fall and winter. Now swing your gaze up, way up to overhead. You should see the 3 widely spaced stars of the summer triangle, which measures about 2 or 3 fists on a side. The corner of the triangle farthest west, nearest the direction of sunset, is marked by Vega. It's the main star in a tidy constellation called Lyra, the lyre or harp. Farther east, and closer to Polaris, is the star Deneb. It marks the tale of a giant swan, Cygnus, apparently flying south for the winter along the Milky Way. You should be able to make out the swan's wingtips and long neck. Or try picturing Deneb at the top of a large cross about two fists long. The triangle's third star is Altair, the head of a celestial eagle, called Aquila, that's winging toward the swan. At month's end, of course, is Halloween. Go ahead and trot out the pumpkins and fuzzy spiders, then try doing what I do. When trick-or-treaters invade our neighborhood, I set up my telescope on our driveway so that all those little goblins and their parents can take a quick peek through the eyepiece. It's always a big hit, and you should try it, or at least point out Venus and the Summer Triangle to them. Oh, one more thing. Would you like to take part in something called the Great Worldwide Star Count? From October 25th through November 8th, stargazers just like you will be looking skyward to find the faintest stars they can see. The target area for the Northern Hemisphere is Cygnus the Swan. No telescope is required, and it's a fantastic way to find out how your sky stacks up compared to other places, and frankly, how bad your light pollution really is. To learn more, go to starcount.org. While you're browsing, don't forget that skyandtelescope.com is a great destination for all kinds of sky watching tips. Next month, we'll take a sky ride on a flying horse. Until then, I wish you clear skies.